Usually I've been trying to do any announcements that might be particularly helpful at this point. And if you look at the church calendar over the next week, there is almost nothing going on. Literally, I guess scouts are maybe meeting tomorrow, but there is almost nothing going on. One of the things I did want to say is if for any reason you need to get into this church building, please call ahead. Either Pastor Rick or I or Pastor Derek or somebody will be glad to be here and help you get in and out. But otherwise, we're giving our volunteers some time off, and so don't plan on the doors being open. Please, we'll be glad to help make arrangements, but make them ahead of time. More importantly, I thought I'd share a word from the scriptures with you from the Gospel according to Luke. This is from the second chapter. This is the story after the story that we're usually familiar with of Christmas. When the time came for their ritual cleansing in accordance with the law from Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. It's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord. And so they offered a sacrifice in keeping with what's stated in the law, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. That was what was required for poorer folks. A man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. He was righteous and devout. He eagerly anticipated the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Led by the Spirit, he went into the temple area. Meanwhile, Jesus' parents brought the child into the temple so that they could do what was customary under the law. And Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God. He said, "Now, Master, let your servant go in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation. You prepared this salvation in the presence of all peoples. It's a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people Israel." His father and mother, that would be Mary and Joseph, were amazed by what was said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This boy is assigned to be the cause of falling and raising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that generates opposition, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your innermost being too." Who says that to a young mother, by the way? Horrible thing to say. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, who belonged to the tribe of Asher. She was very old. After she was married, she lived with her husband for 7 years. She was now an 84-year-old widow. She never left the temple, but worshiped God with fasting and prayer night and day. She approached, and at that very moment, she began to praise God and to speak about Jesus to everybody who was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Mary and Joseph had completed everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to their hometown, Nazareth, in Galilee. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor rested on him. Here ends this reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Well, you all know that Christmas Day has passed, right? But Christmas isn't really over, is it? For example, how many of you still have family gatherings that are going to be going on this week? Wow, only a couple of us. Yeah, when's our last one? Friday, right? How many of you still have Christmas candy that's sitting on the counter at home, waiting to be eaten? How many of you still have decorations out that you're trying to figure out when you're going to take time to put them away? Christmas really continues, doesn't it? So as we wrap up Christmas 2014, I was really proud of that pun, by the way, wrapping up Christmas, and look forward to a new year 2015, I ask you, what part of Christmas should we hold on to? And specifically, what has God done in you? How has Christ been born in a new way this Christmas season that has changed your life? I think it's appropriate to ask these kinds of questions because Christmas really isn't the end of the story, is it? Is it an end or is it a beginning? Is the birth of a child an end? Well, sort of. But more importantly, it's a beginning, isn't it? What's the next part of the story? Do you know, after Jesus is born, what happened next? Two parts of the story you're probably really familiar with. There are about five pieces to the story that we can fill in of the next 30 years of Jesus' life. One is that after Jesus is born, God is so excited about what's happened that he wants to tell somebody. And so he goes to some shepherds, third shift shepherds that are out in the field. and tells them what's been going on, and then they go to Bethlehem to see what's happening for themselves. The other part of the story that most of us know is in Matthew. There are some folks that have been following this star. You know who they are? The Magi or the wise men. Star gets them as far as Jerusalem. They have to ask for directions and then eventually find their way to Bethlehem. Let's keep going, though. Let's fill in that next 30 years of Jesus' life. There's three more stories that kind of do it. One of them I just read for you a minute ago. 40 days after Jesus is born, Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple for a ritual cleansing. Have you ever been in the hospital and gotten your first bath after you were in the hospital? You know how good that feels? Well, that's basically what Mary and Joseph go to do for their ritual cleansing. They went to the temple, and while they're there, they run into... Hi, guys. Merry Christmas. You can stick around. I don't want to make you leave. Sounds like they're excited about children's church, though, doesn't it? All right, where was I? Mary and Joseph, ritual cleansing 40 days after Jesus is born. While they're there, they run into Anna and Simeon. Both of them recognize that there was something special about this particular child. I'll come back to finish this story in a minute. We also know that the wise men went looking for Jesus, got him as far as Jerusalem, and then they had to ask for directions. Do you remember who they asked for directions? The king at the time, who was a guy by the name of Herod. Herod pulled together his philosophers and his priests, and they remembered an obscure passage in the prophets that suggested that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. So the wise men went off to Bethlehem to find the baby that was born. Herod didn't go with them. His idea was that the wise men would come back, tell him what was going on, and then he'd know and to know what he was supposed to do about it. They didn't come back that way. They went a different way. But the more Herod got to thinking about it, the more he thought, I'm not sure this is a good thing. Got to worried, being worried that there was another king in Israel that was born, and maybe he ought to do something about it. Remember this part of the story? And so he gets so worried that he starts killing off all the children that are under the age of 2 years old. Mary and Joseph were smart enough to know they didn't want to be around for that kind of a risk, and so they took off to spend some time in Egypt. They went and spent some time in Egypt until Herod was gone, and after Herod died, then they went back and they settled in Mary's hometown where they lived before they went to Bethlehem, a town called Nazareth. Nazareth was a little bit of a hike from Jerusalem, but we know that Mary and Joseph and Jesus took that trip at least once a year. And the next story that we have of Jesus in his childhood is when he's 12 years old. It's really a time of a coming of age for young men in that time. When he was 12 years old, he went to the temple. And he apparently got so involved in the Bible studies that he wanted to stick around and listen to what the rabbis had to teach him, and so he did. Mary and Joseph started back home. And when they got a couple days along, they couldn't find their kid. So they took them 2 days to find him, so they went searching back in Jerusalem, and there he was still listening to the rabbis. The point of all three of these stories, I think, is that word was getting out. People were trying to figure out who Jesus was. They were starting to tell the stories about who he was. Word was getting out, which is really the theme of the song that I want to spend a little bit of time focusing on this morning. Here at Faith Community, we've been spending the Advent and Christmas season focusing on some of our great carols of the season and asking, where do they come from? How much do we really know about them? And what are we saying when we sing them? This morning, I'd like to focus a little bit on Go Tell It on the Mountain. I know that you know this because we just sang it, right? I can tell you really quickly what we know about where this song came from, because we don't know. We don't know who wrote it, and we don't know a whole lot about its history of where it came from. The best guess is that it was an African-American spiritual, so it would have been sung by a slave in the pre-Civil War days. Most folks then couldn't read or write, so the way they had of telling the story was through song. It's very possible that it started out as a song about Moses. Slaves in those days felt oppressed, and so they identified with the Israelites when they were in the land of Egypt, because they also felt oppressed. The Israelites cried out to God, and God freed them from their oppression. Their way of crying out to God was through song, only they were crying out not for Moses, but for Jesus to free them from their oppression. Which I think it's really appropriate, because have you ever thought how many connections there are between the story of Moses and the story of Jesus? Especially in the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew presents Jesus as the new Moses. For example, when Moses leads the Hebrew people out of oppression, they are in the country of Egypt. When Jesus goes back home to Nazareth, where does he come from? Egypt. Moses goes out into the wilderness, and one of the first things he does out in the wilderness is they run into the Red Sea. So what's he have to do? Parts the Red Sea and goes through the waters. When Jesus begins his ministry, where does he go? Out into the wilderness for 40 days, right? And what's the first thing he does when he begins his ministry? Where he's tempted by the devil. The next thing that happens in Jesus' ministry life is he goes through waters, right? The waters of baptism. Moses received the law on Mount Sinai. Remember the story of the Ten Commandments? Mountain descended, fire and lightning, all that kind of stuff. Jesus preaches his most important sermon where? The Sermon on the Mount. What's the point? Well, I think a part of the point is God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What's that mean for us? Well, what's the best place to find something if you're looking for it? Wherever you left it, right? So you think, where did I last see that thing? And if you can figure out where you last saw it, chances are that's where it is. I think that works on a deeper level too. If you're looking for peace, maybe the best place to start looking for it is the last time, think of the last time you knew peace. If you're looking for joy, maybe the best place to find it is think of the last time you knew true joy. If you're looking for God, maybe the best place to look is the last time you felt close to God. I have a friend who's a counselor who deals a lot with relationships, with marital relationships, and when folks come to him who are having troubles, one of the things he advises them to do is go back and look at their wedding pictures. He suggests that that's a good place, if you can remember the love that brought you together, that's a good way to find the foundation to work through. Even more specifically, what does it mean for us? Well, as we end 2014 and begin 2015, I hope this week you'll take some time to look back on the year. Look for places that you've seen God at work. Where were the low points? Where were the high points? What are the things that you learned? And where did you find God? Then we're equipped to, all right, what's the theme of the song, title of the song? To go tell it on the mountain. Go. What's the subject of this sentence? I used to hate these questions in English class because this was one of those trick questions. Who's supposed to go? This is one of those unstated subjects, right? It's implied. Who's supposed to go? We are, right? You and me. I don't know why, but in the story of Anna and Simeon, one of the assumptions that I always made was that Simeon was a priest, that he was in the temple because that was his job. This week, as I was getting ready for this sermon, I went back and read the story a couple of times, and I realized that I don't know where that came from, because it doesn't say anywhere in this story that Simeon was a priest. All it says is that a man named Simeon was in Jerusalem, and there was a prophet, which as far as I know isn't a job in the temple, named Anna, who was the daughter of Penuel. In other words, they were just ordinary people. They were people just like you and me who became a part of the salvation story. It's ordinary people who realize that Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for the people of Israel. It's an ordinary old woman who began to praise God and to speak about Jesus to everybody who was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. One of the controversies that always comes up this time of year is what you're supposed to say to somebody to wish them a good time of year. Have you run into this controversy? Do you say Merry Christmas or do you say Happy Holidays? And I've noticed there are some stores that seem to be very intentional about not saying Merry Christmas and about saying Happy Holidays. For me, I noticed, for example, at Walmart, they seem to be very careful about saying Happy Holidays. I noticed it also at Macy's. They seem to be trained to say Happy Holidays. Do you know people that find themselves in those situations and feel like they have to say Merry Christmas just as kind of a counter? Does it really matter? Is it really that important? Here's where I am in it. I don't think it's really Walmart's job to be wishing people a Merry Christmas. Because my experience is when Walmart tries to tell the story about Jesus' birth, they usually either get it wrong or do a really shallow job. So I don't know that they really ought to be telling the story about who Jesus is or what kind of difference he makes in the world. Whose job really is it to be sharing the story? Our job, right? We as the church are really the ones that need to be telling the story about the difference that Christ makes in our lives. I tried to find a good story to illustrate this, and I couldn't, so instead I'm going to settle for a bad joke. Did you hear about the two kids who got caught shoplifting over Christmas? They got caught shoplifting, and the judge, as they came before him, knew about a Christian, evangelical Christian counseling service in one of the churches in town, and so decided to let the evangelical counseling service handle this problem, referred them to there. The counselor, when they got there, split them up and interviewed the first guy. He said, "I'm really sorry, sir. I'm guilty of doing the shoplifting. I should have known better. It was a really wrong thing to do. I'm aware of that. I apologize." The counselor decided he'd try to take things a little deeper because he decided this was a spiritual problem. And so he asked him in the interview, he says, "Have you found Jesus?" The kid got this absolute look of horror on his face and couldn't say another word. The counselor decided that the interview was over, and so he let him go, and he let him spend a couple minutes with his friend. He looked at his friend, and his friend said to him, "Boy, what happened in there? Was it really that bad?" And he said, "Yeah, this is horrible. You know what? At this church, they've lost Jesus." And then he said, "It's even worse than that. They think we took him." There are a lot of folks who have lost any sense of who Jesus is to them. If they're ever going to find Jesus again, who's going to have to tell them? Us, you and me. Go tell it. What is it of God's love? That Jesus Christ is born. I think that's the it. For Simeon, it was, "My eyes have seen your salvation." For Anna, she began to praise God and to speak about Jesus to everyone who was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon had been told that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. There are a lot of people who believe that a Messiah was going to come. They believed it so strongly that he went to where he thought God was most likely to show up. And where was that? In the temple. I think that's still true these days, folks. I know that the church is a human institution. It's made up of humans who are faulted, and therefore we have our imperfections. But I still believe that if you're going to find God in the world today, one of the best places to look for him is in the church. What is it? I think it is whatever God is doing in your life. It is those places where you've seen God at work. It's where you've learned something about Jesus. And those are the things that we ought to be telling to the people around us. Notice that it doesn't say that you need to be an expert in the Bible. It doesn't say you need to be an expert in biblical history or in theology. It doesn't say that you have to have memorized the Christmas story word for word and know each verse and be able to refer to it. You just need to know what God's doing in your life. I think it is good to have a verse that you can point to that helps to guide you. I think it's good to have a time that you can share when you found God working in your life. And I think it's good to have a way that you've seen Jesus make a difference in your life that you can share with others. You probably know that in different parts of the world, they celebrate Christmas differently. I am told that in Russia, Santa isn't thought to be the one that brings gifts on Christmas Day. You know who the gift giver is thought to be during the Christmas season in Russia? An older lady by the name of Babushka. Have you heard this tradition before? They trace it all the way back to the time of wise men. The tradition is that when the wise men were following the star, they didn't get there overnight, so they had to stop at various places along the way. One of the places they stopped was at Babushka's house. Babushka was an older lady who had a lot to do. She had to clean the house, she had to do the laundry, and she had a son who had recently died, and so she was still grieving her son's loss. So she didn't feel like doing a whole lot. The wise men told her the story about what they believed was happening, and so they were looking for this child, and the next day they took off and went on their way. They asked her if she wanted to come along, but she said no. As she got to thinking about it, she thought, boy, that was really a mistake. I should have gone along. And so she decided to try to follow and to see where they'd gone. Every place that she went, she told them about this baby that she was looking for. She told them about the star and about the wise men. And she took a lot of things that had been her son's and she'd give them along the way as a gift. That's the way the story about Christmas and Christ spread, they say, through that part of the world. How do you tell the story? How do you share with others the difference that Jesus has made in your life? Go tell it on the mountain. I have really pondered that. Where does the mountain come from in this song? I looked a couple of times through the story about Christmas, and I can't find a mountain mentioned anywhere in there. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. The only sense that I could make in it is that maybe this was originally a song about Moses, and so there was some carryover from the story about Moses up on Mount Sinai. You know, Egypt left the land of Egypt, and that's where he got the commandments. I do know that in Jesus' life there are a couple important things that happen on mountains, though, right? Like the Sermon on the Mountain. There was another time where Jesus decided to go for a hike with a couple of his closest friends, Peter and James and John. They went up onto a mountain. Something really strange started happening. His appearance changed and he became glowing white. And then he was seen talking to Moses and Elijah. Remember the story? And it was so impressive that Peter wanted to make a little monument there to what had gone on. Jesus said not to go that far. I think the point is that mountains tend to be high points. They're moments that we can look around and see things differently. They're moments when we're more likely to see what God is doing. And in those moments where we see God working, we ought to tell that story. That's important because it's so much easier to share the bad news, the things that are going wrong in the world, than it is to share the good news. I was reminded of that on Christmas Day. Some of you know that I've got a younger brother, my brother David, who works for the district attorney's office in the Bronx. I haven't talked to him in a couple weeks, and what I've seen on the news about New York City, you'd think the place was about to fall apart, don't you? What I saw 2 or 3 weeks ago was the place, there were protests everywhere over the shooting that had happened about a month ago. And then more recently, there was a shooting of 2 police officers, and so people are memorializing those officers. And the New York City, as I imagine it, was about ready to fall apart because you got these 2 groups of people that were going to start any moment fighting with each other. So I called up my brother on Christmas Day, and as part of the conversation, I asked him, so how you doing? Have you had any experience with any of this protesting? And you know what he said? He said, what's going on? He said, things have been really busy at work. I haven't watched the news in a while. What's happening? Things are wrapping up for the job that he does, and his boss has been off, has some health problems, and so he's been doing the job of 2 people. And he said, I haven't watched the news in a while. I haven't caught up with what's going on. The point is, I think it's a lot easier to tell the bad news than it is the good news. And there's a lot of good news out there, too. You have a choice of what you're going to talk about. Which does this song challenge us to share? The good news, right? Share the good news. Who is supposed to do the singing? Who is the subject of this sentence? Go tell it on the mountain. Us, you and me. What is it? The good news, right? What God is doing in the world. that Jesus Christ is born. Where should we tell it? On the mountain, in the hills, in the valleys, in the hills, everywhere, however the song ends.